Good morning, church family at Vista. This is Brother Albert Francis bringing you the message today. I just want to say it's good to be with each of you again. Sister Barbara is here with me, and we're just grateful to have the opportunity to worship with you on this Sabbath morning. It was 44 degrees here this morning, but there's sunshine as far as the eyes can see, and it's a good Sabbath morning. Amen. So glad you're here worshiping wherever you are today, and I pray that our time together will uplift you and be a guiding light as you go through your day today. My message is entitled The Messenger and Their Messages, Part 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you for any opportunity to use our hands in your service. Thank you for all who serve this morning and use their talents, and may we continue to let you use us. In Jesus' name, amen. The circus had been in town for a couple days, and on this particular day, a worker placed a flammable item too close to the tent and it caught fire. The fire spread fast, and unable to contain it, they realized they were in trouble, deep trouble. So they asked a clown with a bicycle to race to town and get help. The clown, pedaling as fast as he could pedal, pleaded with everyone he came in contact with and yelled, "Come quickly! Help! The tent is on fire! The tent is on fire!" Well, he looked like a typical clown, with tears and a sad look on his face. People thought this was just a gimmick to get folks to come to the circus. This misunderstanding caused delay, which resulted in numerous lives being lost. A message can be defined as communication containing information such as news, advice, a request which is sent by a messenger, either by telephone, email, or other means. As we see in the case with the circus, it is essential that the appropriate person give the important messages. In addition, understanding why we believe or disbelieve something would be helpful for anyone sharing the gospel. In an article in Psychology Today, posted June 27, 2017, Dr. Albrecht wrote, "We know that information is transmitted by observation and experience. As children, we learn from our parents and peers. These early experiences, along with our genetic predispositions, lead to preferences and values, be it social justice, the meaning of success, etc., etc." He continues, "Once the belief has been established, it is maintained by a variety of cognitive biases or thinking shortcuts. The main purpose of the shortcuts is to save energy and maintain a perception of certainty. We are motivated by a pervasive need to maintain an emotional and physical equilibrium." This article made me think of a particular incident that happened several years ago. My wife had bought a new car, and at the time she was driving an SUV, so I got the SUV, and the car I was driving was just sitting there. So one evening I asked my daughter Candace to go with me to get some gas, put some gas in the car, and air up the tires and just kind of drive it around. So we ended up driving to the base at 32nd Street, filled up the car with gas, pulled forward, put air in the tires, and then when it came time to leave, the car would not start. So after several attempts, I finally called AAA. And AAA told me they would be there in about 25 to 30 minutes. So my daughter and I were standing outside the car looking back at the gas station. And I realized there was a gentleman on the left side, a black guy, and there was a lady on the right side, an Anglo lady. So I started walking towards the gentleman, and in my mind, I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to get my car running. So I went up to him, and I asked him if he had jumper cables, and he said, sorry, bro, don't have any jumper cables. So I started walking back to my car, and I heard a voice come from the other side, and the lady asked me, she said, did you say that you needed jumper cables? I said, yeah. She said, I have some. She said, if that's your car there, I can pull up as soon as I'm done. And she pulled up, and while she was getting the jumper cables, she actually called me on it. She said, you were not going to ask me for jumper cables, were you? And I told her no. And we had a conversation about it, and we ended with both of us saying, whenever we think of this incident, we will always pray for each other. My personal bias caused anticipation that the help I needed would come from someone who was my race and my gender. In actuality, the help came from someone I never even considered. Do you ever wonder if we approach the gospel the same way? Unwilling to share information with a particular group, but having no issues with our own kind. Think for a minute as Jesus hung on the cross on that Friday afternoon. What biases was going through the minds of the town people in Jerusalem? And did it even matter at that point? The spirit of prophecy reads, in the closing events of the crucifixion day, fresh evidence was given of the fulfillment of prophecy, a new witness born to Christ's divinity. When the darkness had lifted from the cross and the Savior's dying cry had been uttered, immediately another voice was heard saying, truly, this was the Son of God, Matthew 27:54. These words were said in no whispered tones. All eyes were turned to see whence they came. Who had spoken? It was the centurion, the Roman soldier. The divine patience of the Savior and his sudden death, with the cry of victory upon his lips, had impressed this heathen. In the bruised, broken body hanging upon the cross, the centurion recognized the form of God, the Son of God. He could not refrain from confessing his faith. Thus again, evidence was given that our Redeemer was to see the travail of his soul. Upon the very day of his death, three men, differing widely one from another, had declared their faith. He who commanded the Roman guard, he who bore the cross of the Savior, and he who died on the cross at his side. Desire of Ages, page 770. What a message! We can only imagine the conversation that the centurion had with his family later that evening about what convinced him about who Jesus really was, or explaining it to his guards and his commander. Matthew 27:32 tells us, now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Imagine the stories that Simon told when he went back to Cyrene, that he actually bore the Savior's cross, and how it probably impacted the way he looked at the plan of redemption. The thief on the right knew that he was guilty, and the Savior next to him was the only one that could pardon his sins. Three powerful messages on that afternoon. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and want to take a few minutes to look at verses 4 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. When Jesus met his disciples for the last time on the Mount of Olives, the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy was coming to an end. The Jews were given 70 weeks to finish transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Jesus told his disciples many significant information before. He knew that in order for the message they would proclaim to be consistent and in agreement with his mission on earth, there were critical steps that needed to be taken first. So let's look at the conversation with Jesus and his disciples. Acts 1, beginning at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or season which the Father have put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit have come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The spirit of prophecy said that for 40 days Christ remained on the earth, preparing the disciples for the work before them and explaining that which hereto they had been unable to comprehend. Just before leaving his disciples, Christ once more plainly stated the nature of his kingdom. He recalled to their remembrance things he had previously told them regarding it. He declared that it was not his purpose to establish in this world a temporal kingdom. He was not appointed to reign as an earthly monarch on David's throne. When the disciples asked him, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He answered, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father have put in his own power. It was not necessary for them to see farther into the future than the revelations he had made enabled them to see. Their work was to proclaim the gospel message. The Savior knew that no argument, however logical, would melt hard hearts or break through the crust of worldliness and selfishness. He knew that his disciples must receive the heavenly endowment, that the gospel would be effective only as it was proclaimed by hearts made warm and lips made eloquent by a living knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. The work committed to the disciples would require great efficiency, for the tide of evil ran deep and strong against them. A valiant, determined leader was in command of the forces of darkness, and the followers of Christ could battle for the right only through the help that God, by his Spirit, would give them. The last lesson he gave his followers was that they held in trust for the world the glad tidings of salvation. Act of the Apostle, pages 30, 31, and 32. We know they were successful because when they passed through Thessalonica, the Jews which believed not said, these who have turned the whole world upside down have come here too, Acts 17, 6. You've probably never heard the name of John Capes, but he told an incredible story. It was World War II, and on the night of December 6, 1941, he was aboard the submarine HMS Perseus. The waters was rough on that winter night, and the Perseus was on the surface 2 miles off the coast of Kefalonia, recharging her batteries under cover of darkness in preparation for another day on the water. Cape said that he was relaxing in a makeshift bunk converted from a spare torpedo tube, and it went with no warning. There was a devastating explosion. The boat twisted, plunged, and hit the bottom with what Cabe described as a nerve-shattering jolt. He said that his bunk reared up and threw him across the compartment, and then the lights went out. Guessing that they had hit a mine, he groped for a torch. He said soon the air became foul and rising water, and he encountered rising water as he came across several mangled bodies. But that was as far as he got. The door for the engine room was forced shut by the pressure of the water from the other side, and water was starting to creak, seep through under the great pressure through the rubber joint. He managed to drag a few who showed sign of life to the escape hatch and put on the Davis submarine escape apparatus, which is a rubber lung with an oxygen bottle, mouthpiece, and goggles. And then he looked at the depth gauge, which showed they were at 270 feet. He flooded the compartment, lowered the canvas trunk beneath the escape hatch, and with great difficulty released the damaged bolts on the hatch and pushed his injured companions into the trunk, up through the hatch and away into the cold sea above. Then he took a last swig of rum from his Blitz bottle, ducked under and passed through the hatch himself. No one else made it to the surface, and he found himself alone in the middle of a cold December sea. He swam to the shore where he was rescued by two fishermen, and for the next 18 months, he passed from one house to the other, trying to escape the Italian occupiers. During that time, he dyed his hair and lost 70 pounds as he was trying to blend in. This is an incredible story, but many did not believe it. Many doubted his story. For one thing, there were no witnesses. Number two, he was not listed on the submarine's manifest. Number three, the Davis submarine escape apparatus was only tested to 100 feet. And number four, everybody knew that the clear waters of the Mediterranean was a death trap for British submarines during World War II. With constant attacks from the air, surface, and hidden mines, two-fifths of submarines that ventured into the Mediterranean was sunk. And when a submarine sank, it became a communal coffin. Everyone on board died. That was the rule. Have you ever told a story that nobody believed you, but in your heart, and you knew that it was true? John spent his life telling this story over and over. He finally died in 1985, sticking to his story. But it wasn't until 1997 that his story was finally verified. In a series of dives to the wreck, the Perseris was found resting on the sandy bottom, almost upright, with a slight right tilt, 18 degrees. And the hole that was caused by the explosion of the mine is visible on the left side of the bow. They made several dives, and the manhole from which John escaped was still open. They went into the submarine and they found his empty torpedo tube bunk. They also found the hatch and the compartment exactly as he described it. The gauge read 270 feet. And finally, they found his Blitz bottle from which he had taken the last swig of rum. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 reminds us that God bestows upon all members of his church in every age spiritual gift, that each member is to employ in love and ministry for the good of the church and of humanity, given by the agency of the Holy Spirit. He who apportioned to each member as he wills the gift provides all abilities and ministry needed by the church to fulfill its divinely ordained functions. According to the scriptures, these gifts include such ministries as faith, healing, prophecy, proclamation, teaching, administration, reconciliation, compassion, and self-sacrificing services and charity for the help and encouragement of people. John Capes told his story regardless of who believed it. We too have a message about the same Jesus which the disciples watched as he went back to heaven and will soon come again. We are urged that the time is short and things around us are becoming dark and darker. I know you've heard it too. There's a message, we hear it all the time, and that is, we cannot wait until 2021. Because people are putting hope that 2021 has to be better than 2020. We know that things will not get better, but our message is to encourage them to look beyond this world, to look for the things that the Lord has promised us. And he said that he will not forsake us or let us stumble. So I ask you today on this Sabbath morning, where do you fit in to the scheme of things? What are your talents? What is your ministry? And how are you using them for the good of the gospel? I know there are a lot of false prophets, and these prophets are really bold. And we know they're spreading the same message that the serpent told Eve back in the garden many years ago, that God is a tyrant and our lives will only be better when we separate ourselves from him, that God is not the source of all truth. A friend of mine posted a meme on Facebook about 2 weeks ago. And I've mentioned him before. He is an hardcore atheist. We both grew up on the same island, but I never knew him while growing up. And it wasn't until I was aboard an aircraft carrier many years ago that I went to his department to request something, and he was the one that assisted me. And hearing him speak, I immediately knew where he was from. So we had became friends from that day forward. But he's a hardcore atheist. And he posted this on Facebook, that if we were made in God's image, then why are we not all invisible? And usually I've got to the point where I stop responding. But on this one, I responded and I said, we could be made in God's in the image of someone, but it doesn't mean we're made of the same substance. And then he said, well, we need to have a conversation in, I forgot the type of psychology he mentioned. And I said, sure, let's have the conversation. But as we went back and forth, there were no hatred between us. And the conversation ended with him saying, after the pandemic, he's going to drive to San Diego and he hoped we can get together. My goal is to see this brother in heaven. It doesn't matter where he is now, because I truly, and we've all seen it, the power that God has to transform life. But the message that I give to him has to be the right message. And I just pray that I see him there. I'm praying for all the people that you are praying for as well. In closing, I just want to remind you that We must do the work while it is day, for the night cometh where no one can work. May the Lord bless his message. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Donya Tayag. Please turn to hymn number 508, Anywhere with Jesus.
My only thing.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hands may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall walk in evermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Amen.
This is Brother Albert Francis with the benediction. Join me. Father, we know that you've given each of us specific talents, and I pray that you would help us as we put them in practice, that we would see evidence that of the faith that you've given us. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of all peace will be with you. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.